Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
One of the things that has become increasingly obvious in an age of scientific enlightenment is that the fine-tuning of the universe points to a sovereign creator. This is one of the most astonishing discoveries of the 20th century in terms of the universe being fine-tuned to support intelligent life. From the force of gravity to the balance of matter and antimatter, the universe is balanced, as it were, on the fine edge of a razor. I mean, think about the force of gravity. If it were stronger or weaker by just one part out of 10 to the 100th power, that's a 1 with 100 zeros after it, the universe would not, could not support intelligent life. To help grasp that number and not miss the gravity of gravity's fine-tuning, consider that the number of atoms in the entire observable universe is estimated by comparison to be only 10 to the 80th power. Not only that, but the fine-tuning of a force like gravity could not be a function of physical law. Why is that? Well, it's because gravity could be stronger or weaker and still be gravity. So physical law does not dictate its precise strength. But where the force of gravity was not fine-tuned to be the strength that it is, it couldn't support intelligent life. The fine-tuning of the universe cannot reasonably be attributed to chance because of the infinitesimally small range of values that are involved. Chance is infinitely more likely to produce a life-prohibiting universe than a life-sustaining universe. And therefore, the only plausible source of the fine-tuning of the universe is an external, transcendent, incalculably powerful, intelligent, personal mind. And that, of course, we call God. In the beginning, God spoke in the universe, leapt into existence. This is one of the points that is made in the book that we are offering all this month by Mark Lanier, Christianity on Trial, where a lawyer, one of the most famous lawyers in America today, examines the Christian faith. This is an exquisite read, something that no Christian should omit from their library, and it is available all this month for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can get your copy online at equip.org, or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultants, as always, they are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Let's go right to the phone calls. First up, Lucas, St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Lucas.
Hi, Hank. It's a pleasure to speak to you.
Nice to talk to you as well.
I was once married. Unfortunately, I found out my ex-wife was having an affair, and I tried to reconcile with her, but she was unwilling to reconcile, so unfortunately we got divorced. Basically, what I was wondering, I know in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 7, it's in Paul's letter to the church of Corinth, he says, like, for some it is better to be single, but if you cannot control yourself, it is better for you to be married. Basically, what I was wondering, if there's someone out there for everyone, if God has someone out there for everyone.
Yeah, by the way, that same passage says that if your spouse leaves, the other party is not bound in that circumstance. So while God hates divorce, if someone leaves and is unwilling to reconcile and maybe marry someone else and irrevocably closes the door to reconciliation, then you are not bound in that circumstance. Now, God knows what you are going to do, but the fact that he knows what you are going to do does not mean that your choices are fatalistically determined. So you must choose in accordance with his precepts and his principles. I think it's really important, too, that you are equally yoked, which is to say that both of you are committed to one another as Christ is committed to the church, and therefore you become a testimony of his goodness and his grace. There's an article in the Christian Research Journal on divorce and remarriage that I would highly recommend to you. And I think it would be instructive to you, but also give you the guidelines by which you can choose a mate and then live a life that is pleasing to the Lord in union with one another.
Yes, sir. That pretty much answers my question, and I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for your call back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jack. He's listening in Seattle, Washington. Jack's listening on KCIS. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
One Dutchman to another. I'm actually a Dutch American, but I know your last name's Dutch in origin.
I was born there.
My question is about the likes of Norman Vincent Peale, which if you look at the Guy Post magazine, you think they're behind the that's one of his publications. But just the likes of him and say Robert Schuller, Joel Osteen, what's commonly known, I guess, as the positive thinking movement. Uh-huh. Are these simply just mixing Christian terms with modern psychology? Is there any danger of heresy in what they teach?
Well, there's a great danger in heresy in what they teach. I mean, for example, Joel Osteen cuts to the heart of the centrality of the Christian faith with his atonement atrocities. In fact, he revises scripture such that Jesus Christ did not finish the work of atonement on the cross, but rather had to finish the work of atonement in hell. And even then, the work of atonement wasn't completed in his view. And I've written about this in a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And what I would say is that Osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American Christianity. It's the commodification of the divine. It's the reduction of Christianity to the crass specter of pagan consumerism. It's transformation through mantras rather than renewing your mind. And as I've said, there are a host of pretenders that follow in the train of Joel Osteen, but he's clearly the biggest of the bunch, and as such is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of American Christianity that reduces God to a means to our end. So this is a very serious matter. He is a serial scripture twister. He turns scripture into a wax nose so that it says whatever he pleases it to say, not what it actually says. So he will say, for example, that the Bible tells you that you are to call those things that are not as though they were. Well, if you actually go to the Bible and read the text, you find out that it is God, not we, who calls those things that are not as though they were. That is one of literally dozens and dozens, hundreds, one might say, of scripture twisting examples that might be cited.
Okay. So I guess another question I have is this more apparent in the positive thinking movement and the chance that these preachers have the propensity to err because they're mixing up modern psychology? I know Norman Vincent Peale comes.
Well, what's going on is it's not just psychobabble, but it's scripture twisting, it's atonement atrocities, it is New Thought metaphysics repackaged for Christian consumption. So it's a muddy mixture of all those things that you allude to, but the worst part of it is the misuse of scripture. It is absolutely tragic. And I mentioned this on a previous broadcast, but when I first started reading Joel Osteen's books, I thought, well, maybe there would be some mistakes in the book that are are excusable or forgivable, but this is, as I said, serial scripture twisting. You find him twisting the scripture on virtually every page of his book, and that is very unhealthy. It is dangerous on a lot of different counts, and that's what led me to write The Ostinification of American Christianity, which it is, by the way, available not only in book form. You can get in CD form. You can get it as a download on the web at equip.org. You can get it in six packs. You can give it away, because this is a very, very dangerous movement. Again, it is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American Christianity, the fresh new face of a baptized humanistic psychology, a new Babel reaching to the heavens, all the while promising your best life now. In short, Joel Osteen is the de facto high priest of a new brand of Christianity perfectly suited for a feel-good generation. And it is a diversion from true Christianity. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Bob. He's listening in Atlanta, Georgia, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bob.
Yes, hello, Hank. Thank you so much for your ministry. So, to continue on with your point on Joel Osteen, how would you respond to a pastor? In fact, my pastor has said this, that, well, yeah, him and others like him are off the mark, but some may come to Christ as a result, and so we're better off than if he wasn't out there.
Well, some might come to faith in Christ as a result of all kinds of circumstances. Some might come to faith in Christ through the false teaching of Mormonism, but it's not because of the false teaching. It is in spite of the false teaching. And so we shouldn't laud the false teaching. I mean, what did Paul do? He said, even from among your own numbers, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. So be on your guard. Remember, for 3 years, I never stopped warning each one of you night and day with tears. Now, why did he warn the believers for 3 years, night and day with tears? Because he loved the flock, and we should do the same. We should care about the flock. And when spiritual cyanide is being dispensed by the megadose through the public airwaves, if we do not speak out, then we're shirking our responsibility. I mean, this guy has the temerity to mock paralytics, like the paralytic in John's gospel. It is crude, it is unkind, but that's what he does. But he does it with the big smile and the polished manner, and people don't oftentimes grasp that there's a darker hue that lies behind the smile. And again, that's what led me to write The Ostinification of American Christianity. This is serious business. We see the people that are flocking into the front doors of these venues, but not those who fall out not knowing who to trust or what to believe.
Do you have a scripture reference? You said Paul warned for the last 3 years.
Yeah, there's a couple of scripture references that I would point to. First of all, I would point to 1 Timothy chapter 4, very instructive. And then I would also point to 2 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. And then he goes on to say, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Why? Because the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears aside from truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Those were two passages that I would refer to.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Rick.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. All this month, we've been talking about Christianity on Trial, A Lawyer Examines the Christian Faith. This is a must read. It is available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, and we do need people to step up to the plate financially as well as prayerfully. Without you, I couldn't do what I do. I'm asking you to stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Not only as we seek to make a difference in the West, but also as we are, by God's grace and by the move of His Spirit, making a difference in the global South. I'm not talking about the South of the U.S., but I'm talking about where the Spirit of God is moving in Asia, in sub-Saharan Africa, in South America. The Spirit of God is moving, but oftentimes there's little discipleship, and so people are just one experience away from reverting back to animism or ancestor worship or to Buddhism or some other aberration. And others are mixing those religions with Christianity in a syncretistic fashion, and therefore discipleship is critical. We'll be right back with more.
If your beliefs were put on trial by a jury of aggressive atheists, would the evidence of your faith be sufficient to acquit you? I hope so. But the sad truth is that many Christians today would simply wither under the prosecutorial fire of well-educated secularists. That's why you'd do well to read Christianity on Trial, a timely book by one of America's leading trial lawyers. Also a Bible scholar, attorney Mark Lanier summons to the witness stand leading historical figures to render a verdict on Christianity. From a cross-examination of Augustine and Descartes to Darwin and Nietzsche, you'll learn whether Christianity has the evidence to stand up in court. You won't want to miss Mark Lanier's new book, Christianity on Trial. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The nonprofit organization BioLogos, founded by Francis Collins, promotes the view that scientific consensus on neo-Darwinian evolution is fully correct, compatible with Christianity, and should be deferred to by non-experts, despite recent scientific discoveries undermining neo-Darwinism. Has such uncompromising commitment to Darwinian orthodoxy compromised BioLogos' commitment to Christian orthodoxy? Other topics include ostenification and what it portends. How does sanctification work? You say you want a revolution and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Peer out into the night sky on a crystal clear evening. Chances are you can see about 3,000 stars, a mere drop in the celestial ocean, because astronomers confirm that the real number of stars in the heavens is on the order of 100 sextillion. If you could hitch a ride on a beam of light traveling at 186,000 miles per second, it would take you 100,000 years just across our Milky Way galaxy. To cross the universe, it would take you 93 billion years. Does the vastness and orderliness of the cosmos count as evidence for God? Learn what one of America's leading trial lawyers says in Christianity on Trial. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial, simply call 888-7000-CRI
and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. While just war theory is a useful guide in determining the morality of war between nation states, its value is limited when it comes to determining the warrant for launching a revolution. Are there biblical principles that can help us determine whether revolutions ranging from the American to the Iranian Revolution can be justified? The latest issue of the Christian Research Journal analyzes what justifies a legitimate revolution. Start your subscription today when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Talk to Lisette in Miami, Florida, Sirius XM 131. Hi.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I so much enjoy your show every day at 6 o'clock when I'm coming home from work. My question to you is, if you can explain to me the covenant that God gives to Abraham. Genesis 15:10,
yeah,
where he asked him to bring the animals, the two-year-old lamb and the doves. I can't remember. I don't have a Bible in front of me. I'm driving. And cuts it in half. And what does that symbolize? Is that the covenant? Is that, what does that represent?
Yeah, I mean, it does. I mean, this is a great example of where God uses tangible, perceptible, earthly realities to point to spiritual realities. And so this is a way through types and shadows that God is confirming a covenant with Abraham, that God would bless those who bless you, and through you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Abram, of course, had his name changed from Abram to Abraham, for he would be the father of many nations. He would be the father of true Israel, the friends of God, those who genuinely love Yahweh, the God of Israel, and through types and shadows look forward to the coming of the King of Israel, Jesus Christ. So this is always couched in terms of true Israel, because if you look at the Old Testament, Rahab was a Canaanite, but true Israel. Ruth was a Moabite, but true Israel. Those who left the company in the Exodus of Egyptians with the people of God are considered true Israel, because they're brought into all the types and shadows pointing forward to Jesus Christ, and they are heirs to the covenant of Abraham, who through faith set a pattern for all those who would be redeemed. So if you think about it this way, in the first 11 chapters of Genesis, you get the macro issues. It is as though you're catching up on all those big issues, such as the fact that God created everything, that God, in fact, created Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve rebel and fall into lives of constant sin, terminated by death. And then you see the unfolding plan of redemption, which begins with Abraham. He's called out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he is to now become the father of many nations. And this chronicles the beginning of God's unfolding plan of redemption, which ultimately is consummated when Jesus Christ arrives on the scene of history, the second Adam, and he inaugurates a kingdom that will never end. And we are participants in that consummation, in that we are those who are to fulfill the cultural mandate, those who are to fulfill the Great Commission, and be faithful until the Lord appears a second time. So again, this is a way of using earthly, perceptible, tangible realities which point to spiritual implications, and the spiritual implications, of course, are grand. And in some way, there are so many different ways in which you could talk about the symbolism of the cut animals. It would take a show in itself, but it is a very rich, symbolic, tangible means by which God cut, as it were, the covenant with Abraham.
Is there a reason, sorry to deviate a little, is there a reason why in Genesis you see that people lived so long, 400-something years, and 175 years? Can I take that literally, or is there something behind that?
No, I think that it is something that you can take literally, and of course, as a result, ultimately, of what happened with man's disobedience, the number of days that men would live would be reduced to 70 years, and if by reason of strength, 40, a score being 20 years. So 70 or 80 years is the average lifespan, and that has continued on because God has set those parameters for mortal man. But we don't look forward to long lives of 120 or 200 years, or in the case of Adam and Eve, almost 1,000 years, but rather we look forward to resurrection, in which we will live forever with a resurrected Christ and resurrected bodies.
And amen to that, because I do really don't want to live all those years. But I listened to your show when you offered the King of Creation with the other DVD, which the name escapes me totally now, and I ordered it. And the King of Creation, I was amazed when I saw it. Beautiful. I can't wait to get more. So I have two people that can definitely use it. But the other DVD, I also wanted to share that with them, where it explains the planets and how we're not here by coincidence.
Yeah, it's called Privileged Planet.
I was looking in your website, but I couldn't find it. I saw you have the King of Creation today, but I wanted to get both.
Yeah, you can get King of Creation, Privileged Planet. We have Metamorphosis, Flight. There's a whole bunch of great illustrious media. If you look that up on the web at equip.org, you can find all their products. And hang on, we can get you the information in a verbal fashion as well.
Can I just ask you one more question?
Sure.
I'm sorry, and I know you have a lot of callers. But I've always known God since I was a child. But I disaligned myself, and now I have aligned myself again. I'm trying, because to be a true Christian, when you've been of this world, it takes, you know, time and a lot of reading and a lot of study. Is there anything that you can recommend to me, like for a study session that I do on my own? I'm a head of household. I really have a lot of time in my hands. Everyone in my family depends on me. So,
you know, there's a book that comes to mind as you speak. It's called The Normal Christian Life by Watchman Nee. I think that would be very, very helpful to you, because Christianity is not just about right doctrine, it is about right life, which is to say that it's not just about an explanation, it's about an experience that you can have with the living God when Christ comes to live within you. And that means you're no longer just living a changed life, but you're living an exchanged life. You're living the crucified life. And Watchman Nee does a very, very good job of laying that out in The Normal Christian Life. Hang on, we can get that book out to you. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Roger. He's listening in Salt Lake City, Utah, KUTR. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I became a Christian in 2009, and shortly after, my wife passed away at 43, and then I recently met a good Christian woman, and we got married. And so now what's happened is that we've been approached by the Mormon missionaries, and we've been looking at the Book of Mormon, and it sounds so much like the Bible, and there's a lot of stuff in that, but when I asked them about it, they said that it was from the golden plates that Joseph Smith had. They don't have the plates anymore, so I'm just wondering It sounds like it's a good deal there, but, you know, I'm a little bit suspicious about it.
Well, you should be, because while Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, referred to the Book of Mormon as the most correct of any book on earth and the keystone to the Mormon religion, its flaws run the gamut from serious to silly. I mean, if you look at the category of serious, the Book of Mormon contains what could be called modalistic language that militates against the biblical doctrine of the Trinity. And archaeology is a powerful testimony to the accuracy of the Bible, but not to the Book of Mormon. Not only is there no archaeological evidence for a language such as Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics, but there's no archaeological support for lands that you find in the Book of Mormon, like the Land of Moron. Nor is there any archaeological evidence to buttress the notion that the Jaredites, the Nephites, the Lamanites, and so forth migrated from Israel to the Americas. On the contrary, both archaeology and anthropology demonstrate conclusively that the people and the places that are chronicled in the Book of Mormon are little more than the product of a very fertile imagination. So while the Bible stands the test of authenticity for faith and practice, the Book of Mormon most certainly does not.
Okay, all right, Hank. I accept the Bible, and I believe the Bible. I know there's a lot of archaeology for it. There's a lot of things in the Book of Mormon that sound good, but you say that this is from the imagination of... So did Joseph Smith write the Book of Mormon?
Well, that's another very good question. Yes and no. A lot of what you find in the Book of Mormon, we might say kindly, has been borrowed. That's the kindest way that I could put it. But let me say this. I am coming up to station break, and I want to close this segment by talking a little more about this, because it's sad that people are being confused by counterfeits, and this is a counterfeit. Joseph Smith actually asserted that the golden plates were translated by the power of God, and that produced by this was the most correct of any book on earth. In other words, more correct than the Bible itself. And Joseph F. Smith, who happened to be the sixth president of the Mormon Church, went so far as to say that the words were not only correct, but that every letter was given to Joseph Smith by the gift and power of God. But the reality is that the Book of Mormon had to be corrected because it has so many errors. And part of the correction was a compensation for Smith's poor grammar and his poor spelling. The Book of Mormon is fraught with other errors as well. There are so many errors, and we have written about that in various places, including the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, where I have a couple of entries on that. But we also have a booklet that I wrote some time ago called The Mormon Mirage, Seeing Through the Illusion of Mainstream Mormonism. In fact, I think this is significant enough that I put together a flip chart on this as well. It, too, is called The Mormon Mirage, Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage, in fact, and this gives you the opportunity to master Mormonism's doctrinal deviations in minutes and then be equipped to use the deviations as springboards for communicating biblical truth. So, in essence, what I've produced is a 4x6 laminated flip chart that becomes a memorable guide to the essentials that form the dividing line between Mormonism and the Kingdom of Christ. So you can see what Mormonism teaches, but contrasted with that which is taught in the Word of God. So Mormonism cannot be reconciled with Orthodox Christianity. Those three resources you can find on the web, the flip chart, the booklet, and the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, which contains some entries on Mormonism. You can find more resources on Mormonism on the web at equip.org as well. Be right back with more answers.
Like it or not, your faith is increasingly on trial. With that in mind, could you persuade a skeptical jury that your beliefs are anything more than wishful thinking? In Christianity on Trial, renowned trial lawyer Mark Lanier summons a host of witnesses from across the centuries to provide compelling evidence for the Christian faith. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return after this.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Is it more reasonable to believe that a God exists than not? Is it plausible that such a God would choose to create and communicate with humanity? Can we trust the alleged eyewitness testimony to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus? In Christianity on Trial, one of America's top trial lawyers, Mark Lanier, brings a penetrating legal eye to examine the plausibility of the Christian faith. Explaining the rules that courts follow, he interrogates witnesses from throughout history to explore whether it makes sense to accept the Christian worldview or not. Ultimately, we must all honestly weigh the evidence and choose what is worthy of belief. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. With America's largest church and 1 billion impressions per month on Facebook and Twitter, Joel Osteen is the hip new personification of God talk in America. But behind the glowing self-affirmations, there lies a darker theological hue. Other topics include the new theistic evolutionist, biologos, and the rush to embrace the consensus. What is the connection between Sundays, the sacraments, and our resurrection? Why the followers of Jesus recognized him as divine, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. If you were asked what Augustine and Anselm, Heraclitus and Descartes, or Josephus and Tacitus had in common, you'd be excused for drawing a blank. But what they have in common is that they are all witnesses called to the stand by one of America's best trial lawyers to test the truth of Christianity. Armed with incisive analytical skills and the well-honed ability to quickly spot weaknesses in arguments, attorney and Bible scholar Mark Lanier takes on the tough questions that Christians need to be able to handle today. With clear and penetrating insights, Lanier cross-examines historical figures from Charles Darwin to Friedrich Nietzsche, and from Adolf Hitler to B.F. Skinner. You won't want to miss the verdict in this new book, Christianity on Trial. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our appreciation for standing with us, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and back to our phone callers. Next up is Greg, listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Bot Radio. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Hank. good to talk to you. I want to ask you a question about the Black Hebrew Israelites and their doctrine. I've been talking with them for like the last 4 or 5 months now. They've really challenged my theology and my doctrine and even kind of my faith. One of the things that really challenges me is they bring out a scripture that says that Jesus came not before the lost sheep of the house of Israel, I believe, and that in John 3:16, when he says God so loved the world, that the world that he's talking about, they bring up a scripture in Isaiah, and they say it's talking about the Israelite world. I can't remember the exact scripture in Isaiah, so I just wanted to see what kind of answers do you have for them.
Well, you know, on a macro scale, let me say this, that God loves all those who are his friends and followers, which is to say Abraham was called to be the father of a great nation through whom all the peoples of the world would be blessed. In fact, his name was changed from Abram to Abraham, father of many nations. And this is never to be construed as having ethnic qualities, which is to say, your relationship to Yahweh, the God of Israel, is not based on your genealogy, but rather on your love for Yahweh, the God of Israel, who is revealed in Jesus Christ. And Peter had kind of, we might say, racist tendencies until he was shown a vision of clean and unclean food. And when he was shown that vision, he finally got the point. He said, ah, now I understand that God does not show favoritism. And so it is. God accepts men, as Peter said, from every language and people and nation that love and revere and serve him. So it's never a matter of ethnicity. It's never a matter of genealogy. We see that in the Old Testament in that Ruth is a Canaanite and she is true Israel. If you look at the book of Esther, where Esther is raised up sovereignly to save the Jews from certain destruction under Haman, the text in chapter 8 tells us that as the nations looked on, many of them became Jews. They became Jews not because they changed their genealogy, but because they became followers of Yahweh, the God of Israel, and were brought into all the types and shadows pointing forward to Christ. And I think just as there have been people throughout history that tend to think that God separates people on the basis of their ethnicity or race, there have been people like that in Old Testament times and in modern times. There's no value or validity to that whatsoever. And I think to say that the Black Israelites or the Black Hebrew Israelites, which is an umbrella term that comprises a large number and variety of groups, that they are the literal Israelites or that they are literal descendants of the promise is simply nonsense. First of all, there is no such thing as literal Israelites. Israelites or true Israel is a function of being a follower of Jesus Christ, and that has nothing whatsoever to do, again, with ethnicity, because Ruth, the Moabite, was the archenemy of Israel and yet is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So a lot of what they say is, quite frankly, racist and does not comport with a biblical worldview.
Okay. Do you have any literature I can look at?
Yeah, I think we can find some good literature for you at the Christian Research Institute. By the way, not always, but often they do reject Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And theirs is often a sense of identification that they make between modern black slavery and ancient Hebrew slavery in Egypt. But as a macro issue, the Bible is very clear. Slave traders in the Bible are put in the category of murderers, adulterers, perverts, and liars by Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And Revelation 17 and 18, you find God pronouncing final judgment on the evil system that perpetuates slavery. So it is application of biblical principles that ultimately led to the overthrow of slavery, not only in ancient Israel, but also slavery in general. Israel's emancipation from slavery in Egypt, in fact, became the model for the liberation of slaves in general. And of course, what Paul says is that in Christ there's neither slave nor free, We are one in Christ. So our relationship to Christ has nothing to do with our economic realities, has nothing to do with our gender, has nothing to do with our genealogy. It is relational. And therefore, God loves the people of the world, not people of a particular color or a particular ethnic group or genealogy.
Okay.
The Bible, when it talks about slavery, never extols slavery in any way whatsoever. And the kind of slavery that you find in the Bible is very, very different from what you found in our modern epic. Slaves were tied to military victories, but most often to economic realities. And because there were no bankruptcy laws, if you got into financial difficulty, oftentimes you'd have to sell yourself into slavery to discharge the debt. So if you're a doctor, you'd use your skills to repay your master. So this is very unlike American slavery in that it didn't have race specifically tied to the slavery.
Okay. I appreciate it.
Hey, you got it. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. Dwayne, Nashville, Tennessee, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Dwayne.
Hey, how you doing?
Good,
hey,
thank
how
you.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I had a quick question. I was wondering what you think about why there's 66 books in the Bible and no more, no less, and, you know, back when, I guess, King James, you know, put the 1611 version together. I just want to get your take on it. And if you have time for another quick question, I'll just sit here and listen.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's important to recognize is that the books of the Bible are not determined by men, only discovered by men based on principles given to us by God. And not only that, but, you know, the books of the Bible are books that stand the test, which is to say there's perspicuity in the text of Scripture in that the books of the Bible are clear and consistent within themselves and amongst one another. So what happened is in the wisdom of God, the text was protected from the one thing that centuries and millennia later we could never detect, and that's wholesale change of doctrine or theology by any one particular man or group who had full control over the text at any given point in history. Instead, because the New Testament books were written at various times, and then they're quickly copied and distributed as soon as they were written, there was never a time that anyone or any group could gather up all the manuscripts and then make extensive changes in the text itself, such as cutting out the deity of Jesus Christ or inserting some foreign doctrine or concept. And by the time anyone did obtain great ecclesiastical power in the name of Christianity, those texts were long buried in the sands of Egypt out of the reach of attempted alteration. So the autographs are forever immortalized within a supernaturally preserved corpus of manuscripts. So instead of having less than the autographs or the original writings, we have far more, a treasure trove of manuscripts that are reliable. Now I'm talking here about the New Testament canon, most particularly because the Old Testament canon was ratified by Christ and in place long before the closing of the New Testament canon.
Right. Okay, and that kind of goes along with, you know, there being archaeological evidence of New Testament writings as opposed to something, say, like the Book of Mormon, where, like you're saying, one previous caller, where there wasn't really, or there isn't really that much evidence of any New Testament writings or...
Well, if you look at some of the other false Gospels, like the Gospel of Judas, first of all, just common sense reading them. You know, the Gospel of Judas is 13 papyrus pages, and you get copies of that and read it, and it'll actually put you into stitches. It's so funny. It's incoherent. But it's carbon dated to, if I remember correctly, around AD 280, and therefore less reliable than a Gospel like John, which was most certainly written prior to the Jerusalem Holocaust of AD 70. Not only so, but again, the precepts and principles that you find in these false Gospels do not comport with what you will find in the canon. the principles and precepts are more Gnostic, or in some cases, as I mentioned, just nonsensical.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks for taking my call. I'll let some other callers get in, and I appreciate your show. Thanks a lot.
You got it. By the way, this is one of the entries in a 4x6 laminated flip chart that I put together some time ago, Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. I use doctrine as the way by which you can remember the essentials of the historic Christian faith. But the C stands for canon, or this is what we talk about when we talk about the 66 books of the Bible. And I give some information of how we got our canon. But also, I've written about this in quite a bit of detail in a book called Has God Spoken, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. And we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember our contact information as we close out the broadcast on the web, equip.org, via the mail. It's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource Consultants is always standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. We do need people to stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. Also, we need people who will join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. And when you do that, I'd be pleased to send you a personalized copy of one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. You can access those books on the web and join the Bible Answer Man support team on the web as well at equip.org. Do remember the Christian Research Journal. It is an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. If you're not subscribing, you're missing out, quite frankly. This is a magazine that deals with cutting-edge issues on doctrine, on discernment, and are we ever in need of discernment in the epoch of time in which we live. Doctrine, discernment, it deals with all kinds of issues whereby we can defend the faith, where we can always be ready to give an answer or reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. Again, you can subscribe to the journal in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Out of time for today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The nonprofit organization BioLogos, founded by Francis Collins, promotes the view that scientific consensus on neo-Darwinian evolution is fully correct, compatible with Christianity, and should be deferred to by non-experts, despite recent scientific discoveries undermining neo-Darwinism. Has such uncompromising commitment to Darwinian orthodoxy compromised BioLogos' commitment to Christian orthodoxy? Other topics include ostenification and what it portends. How does sanctification work? You say you want a revolution and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger.
The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.